must have been awful for Granit Xhaka walking off at the weekend, being booed by that many fans, and that's without the ones that are at home screaming at their television. Look, we had a few Arsenal fans on and said, you know, he shouldn't have done it, he shouldn't have thrown his arm up and, you know, taken his shirt off. But yeah, listen, put yourself in that position. 40,000 people booing you or cheering when you walk off. And this is not the first time it's happened with him. It has happened before, by the way. And it must be awful. You only got to get a couple of comments on Twitter or Instagram or YouTube. We used to get loads on YouTube of our videos through the Sven period. And you do take it to heart. You only get a couple of comments. And I want to attack them back. And I go, what do you know? But to have 40,000, how does it play with your mental state? We're joined now by Matt Shaw, Inner Drive sports psychologist. Good morning, Matt.
Morning, how you doing?
Morning, yeah, good. Listen, two sides to this, because I've always been interested in this about how people can strengthen their mind and sort of close it out. I went for a bit of hypnotherapy over a bit of stage fright that I had a few years back and tried to sort of understand a bit more about it. But let's just talk about the negative side of sport, and when you're sort of, you know, you've got the fans on your back, how do you deal with that like Granit Xhaka did the other day?
Yeah, it's a great question, and particularly one that we're seeing at the moment with the Xhaka situation. And for me, I think it comes down to a number of things, because ultimately what we're dealing with is human beings, and no one wants to get booed off the pitch. So that's why we see that frustration, maybe a little bit of anger that comes out of there as well. And normally what we're used to talking about is the positive impact of fans, but this kind of highlights that negative impact, like you're saying. And for me, what we tend to see is there's that negative impact, so booing, generally leads to loss of confidence. And actually, for young players particularly, one of the biggest knocks for their confidence is something we call fear of failure.
Yeah,
so actually
yeah.
might lead to them to sort of hiding out of the pitch, not taking risks and not taking big decisions when they need it.
Well, it's funny you should say that, fear of failure, because I want to come to that as well in a minute. I want to come to that. It's about walking up to 2 foot putts and stuff like that, because you know, yeah. The fear is I'm going to miss it. But just looking at Granit Xhaka in himself, I look at players like that, and they've made it to a professional standard. They have to sign autographs every day. They play for a club, and everything is great. Forget the money, forget all the bits and pieces. They feel like they are loved by fans because, you know, and then you become captain. Now, that's an even bigger responsibility. And it's how proud you must be to be captain. But then you've got virtually the whole stadium booing you. I mean, does it get to a point where you go, well, if it was me, I would say, I'm leaving. Or do you try and turn their mind around? How do you make that the strength of character? How do you strengthen their character?
It's like you say, there's kind of two ways of looking at it, isn't there? And for most of us that aren't professional footballers, it's quite easy to say that, okay, we're off and we're not having it anymore. But we're not subjected to that. And I generally think it's quite hard to gain fans' trust, but it's very easy to lose it. And it kind of seems that's what we're seeing at the moment with Granit Xhaka. So for me, actually, the advice there would be understanding what's happening and why it's happening, but also trying to have that communication, if not to the club, to get it out through that way, to try and protect the player a little bit. Yeah. But actually, it's more about communicating and being honest with the fans, because actually, if you can get the point across that no footballer will ever go out on the pitch, or particularly the footballers we work with in a drive, none of them will ever go out on the pitch with the intention to play badly. And if you go out there and give it your all, even if you do play badly, that's not always a direct result of their performance alone. Mm. So it's kind of educating around that side of it as well.
It's funny, I've said this to, you know, I've got a couple of mates who are, you know, sort of ex-pros, and I've said that when you pull a shirt on, it's a privilege to be able to play in front of that many players. That many fans, sorry. And when you walk on, you've got to give it your all. However, we've spoke about Xhaka because we've said that he's not wanting the ball, and it could be in a situation where he's not wanting the ball because in case he gives it away, and then the fans get on his back, which sort of relates to my stage fright thing. Sometimes I would avoid gigs or I'd avoid doing interviews because that fear of something going wrong. And that's what I think with Xhaka. He fears he's going to do something wrong. So it's actually, don't give me the ball. And I just wonder, so you work with players and you work with clubs. Do you work on more sort of solo, you know, you just individuals, or do you work as a team building exercise? How do you do it?
Good question. So our background is within club sports, but more recently what we tend to work with now is one-to-one with players. Okay. So for example, with senior internationals, then in the Premier League all the way down through the leagues, because actually what we tend to see is for things like what we're talking about here, like the Granit Xhaka situation, although what we couldn't do is influence a culture within the team, what we can do is try and bolster that player's confidence, right, resilience, motivation, so that they do get back out there again, and we can try and diminish that fear of failure. So it's kind of a classic through all the leagues that we see is, well, actually, if I can protect myself and insulate myself from negative, I guess it's abuse, negative abuse, then it stops me from getting it in the first place. So if I can just play the safe pass, or if I can sort of put myself in positions where I'm not even going to receive the ball, that's kind of a classic, especially with young players. And even so, when people get captaincies, they've kind of got that added pressure because they're the stakeholder in the team now. Yeah. Everything goes through them. So a lot of our work now tends to be, how can we ensure that that player's okay from a development point of view, but also playing when they're under pressure?
I just, without giving too much away from your business, just give us one, you know, look, I've been through this as well, so I've got a bit of an insight, but just give us one technique that you might use, loosely, if you can.
Yeah, for sure. So I generally think, and this is one technique that we can use for fear of failure, for example, but pretty much to ensure that anyone performs as well as they can do, especially when it's under pressure. And I think that often focus is a little bit underrated. And I'm not just speaking about concentration, it's broadly what they're paying attention to. And if we can kind of narrow people's focus a little bit when they're in the moment, that's what matters. So, for example, I think there's three ways you do this. First way is that we tell people not really to focus too much on the past.
So
past might be previous experiences. Yep. Yes, that can be good to bolster their confidence, but actually I can't change what's happened. So actually all I should be doing is being motivated by it. We could think about the future. So what's it going to hold next week? Again, I don't have much control over that, and our brains crave that control and certainty. So I can't change what's going to happen in the future, but again, I can kind of use it to get me inspired and going. So what we tell people is just to focus on the now. So what's happening right in front of you? Kind of in a footballing terms, play what you see. React to what's happening in front of you. One of the terms that we tend to tell our players is be where your feet are.
Right.
So where your feet are is what's important. So whatever's happening in that moment, that's what you need to attend to. Nothing else really is irrelevant. And one of the things I tend to teach my players is, and particularly what I explain my job role is can I just teach you how to minimise the noise around you?
Okay.
Just so that it's a really quiet focus on what's important. So that, I guess, is probably my one top tip, really.
I like it. You know, the reason why I like it is because my son's in academy football, and I hear some of these parents shout at their kids. You know, they're 10 years old, 10, 11 years old, they shout at their kid, focus, focus. And they probably look and think, what do you mean? Nobody's explained to them what focus is, you know? And even I sort of have to think, what is focus? I like the bit that you said you can't change the past. I tend to look back at the past too much. And some of the a good analogy that I was given when I had a bit of advice was to stop looking in the rearview mirror of your car, you know, sort of that was quite a good way that I sort of got it into my brain. But do you also issue some of these words, you know, a word that sparks something in their brain to use?
I think it's largely dependent on the player and what's important to them.
Okay.
So there's often ways that we can use specific words that spark that motivation or desire or passion for them to get out there, or actually reminds them of times when they've been really confident. But between players as a whole, those words can sometimes be irrelevant in that case.
Okay.
So it's largely about actually spending a lot of time working on what makes them tick and kind of understanding that a little bit. And I particularly like what you said there about when you go to watch younger footballers play and there's people always shouting at them what they should do. I just think it's really important that people understand that there's actually a little bit of a disparity between, well, do I focus harder? And if I focus harder, what does that look like? Or do I just make sure I'm focusing on the right thing at the right time?
Yeah. It's a tough one. Listen, which clubs are doing this right, by the way? Which Prem clubs have really got into the sports psychology?
So it's pretty difficult to speak specifically about clubs, as we're not directly involved
okay.
in clubs right now. We just work with players from the clubs.
Yeah.
But broadly speaking, I think sports psychology really, from my opinion, and I know a lot of professionals in the field sort of share this opinion, is that it's somewhat the last area of sports science to kind of catch up. So we've always embraced, or relatively coming into 2000s really, embraced the idea that I need to be fitter, faster and stronger. So I need to train well. And part of that is nutrition as well. But actually what we've not really spoken about too often, and we've been doing it a lot behind the scenes, but it's never really been in the forefront, is mental skills and understanding how to deal with pressure and ongoing development. And I think a lot of clubs are using that really well at the moment. So you'll often see in Premier League sides that there are people working in academies and there's people working with first teams. Do I think that it's as good as it could be? No, not yet. But I think that's just the nature of us sort of playing catch up a little bit. So I think most clubs now have some sort of facility or some sort of setup there whereby players can speak to someone if they want to. But what we tend to see is players tend to come to us because it's kind of away from the club. We're not associated with any backroom staff. It's completely quiet, and it's just the conversations between us. So they kind of like it to be away from that setting as well.
Yeah. Something I just wanted to say was the interview with Piers Morgan with Ronaldo. He said, what's your greatest asset? You know, is it your speed? Is it your six-pack? Is it you know, what you can do? He said, my greatest asset is the strength of my mind. I believe I'm the best. And I look at Tiger Woods when he won the Masters this year. When he walked up the 18th, he couldn't hear the crowd. You could see in his eyes, I've got to get this, you know, I've got not three putt this. I think he had three putts to get it, actually. But he shut everything out. I'm just wondering whether the likes of Ronaldo and Tiger Woods are born like that.
If they were what, sorry?
If they were born like that, that strength of mind. You know, I've got a mate who played at... for England, he played for Man United, he played for Spurs, and he played for all these great clubs, and I can't even beat him at tiddlywinks. He's got strength of mind. It doesn't matter what it's in his head. He's so strong in his mind, and I'm just wondering whether you're born like that or you can actually work at it.
Yeah, so that sort of throws up this, and it's a classic debate, isn't it, whether are you born good or do you become good? People are often side on different ways. Often people say it's a perfect hybrid of the two. I definitely believe that actually the mentality or mental strength, some people call it, mindset, growth mindset, anything like this, is actually something that's developed. And ultimately it's developed because people get exposed to different experiences along the way. And often those experiences help them develop along the way. People that are quite insulated and don't have big experiences, so for example, your friend that's competed at quite high level, all along the way, he's actually exposed to all these different experiences where he's actually got to kind of learn how to be resilient and learn how to be motivated and strong. And it's not nice sometimes training all day, getting loads of flack after it as well.
Matt, I've got to go to a break, but it's so interesting. We've got to get you back on. Really appreciate you coming on. We have to go to a break. Matt Shaw there, Inner Drive sports psychologist. Real interesting stuff that.